Doctor Show for natural, organic gardening advice. And now the Dirt Doctor, my dad, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number to be with me is 866-444-3478. We've been talking about a lot of things related to all this tremendous amount of rain that we're having here in Texas and other things as well. I was talking off the air with the last caller about foundations and trees, and I wanted everybody to hear a little bit of that. By the way, this hour is brought to you by the Dirt Doctor information pieces, starting with the website, dirtdoctor.com. And like I said, real quickly, the newsletter is available, and we got an awful lot of people that take it. It's electronic, and all you have to do is sign up for it, and it's right on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. The membership area of the website is the green button over there on the left-hand side. Click on it, and it explains to you everything about how to join and what you get out of it and all that sort of thing. We do have an app. We have a Dirt Doctor app, so you can listen to the show pretty much 24/7. We also cover Marty Whittakin's show on the app. She's my friend that you've heard on my show, and you may have heard me on her show talking about nutrition and herbal things and medicine from the natural organic approach. She really covers some great stuff. So, and then all my books, of course, and all the other things. But you can get all that information by starting out by just going to dirtdoctor.com. We were talking about trees close to houses, and most of these foundation people and a lot of the engineers will just, the first thing they recommend is for you to take out the shrubs and trees that are near the house. Well, there's a couple of problems with that. The first one is that there are literally millions of houses around the world that have trees close to them that don't have any problem at all. Can it sometimes happen that the roots are a problem? Yes, it can. But it's rare. Some of my engineering friends tell me that, you know, they found some issues where roots actually did develop under a house. It's not real common, though, because generally they go over, like we were talking on the air, and hit the beam. The beam functions as a root barrier, and they turn sideways and stay out where there's more moisture. Under the house is usually dry. Now, if you've got a leak or you've got a drainage problem and there's water under the house, that's a different issue. But even there, you generally see the roots of the trees stay outside where the fertilizer is and where the water is and where the conditions are better. The other part of that is that if you buy into the philosophy that the roots do dip under a beam and get under a house and suck the moisture out from under the house and create foundation problems, you will have to remove all of the trees from the site. And the reason is that the root systems of trees go out 4 to 5 times wider than the drip line. So unless you've got a gigantic piece of property, anywhere you plant a tree on the property, roots are going, if that is an issue, if you think that that's a problem, you can't have any trees on the property. Now, you could put in a root barrier, and we were talking about that off the air. Some of the root barriers are a real problem, too, that are recommended and used. Some of them are porous, and if they're porous, they won't do a bit of good because they can still suck the moisture from the other side of that barrier where you're trying to, you know, maintain an even moisture level and keep the roots from being. That theoretically can cause some movement of the foundation. So we don't like the ones that are porous, and we really don't like the ones that have herbicide pellets throughout, and they're there. They're out there on the market because we don't recommend toxic herbicides at all, and plus you put a herbicide there that actually affects a tree's root when it hits it, you're going to affect the whole tree. So if you put a root barrier in, it just needs to be a solid piece of something, and if that's decided to be done, fine. put it somewhere between the trunk of the tree and the foundation if you do it. I've got trees all around my house, some literally almost touching the eave, and we don't do that at all. And we're working on projects and consulting with people and have friends all the time where we're seeing trees very, very close to houses. In fact, some houses are built around trees, you know, set right on top of the root system of the trees. So I don't, yes, it can be a problem, but in most cases, it's not. So that's my take on all that. Seems like there was, oh, and one other thing, I did a little quick research on rhubarb. I got a question about it in the first hour because I've never grown it. It won't grow, won't live here. It gets too hot. And I'm not sure I found out what the caller's issue was. He said he cut the flowers and seed off. He read that that was recommended, and that was recommended on a website that I pulled up, too. It is a perennial plant. It should, you know, removing the flowers, keeping the flowers from forming helps to keep all the energy in the stems, which is what you use, you know, for the food. And so I didn't find out. The only thing that caught my attention a little bit, it said that rhubarb really likes manure and compost and really rich, healthy soil. Well, that's fairly typical for all vegetables, and especially asparagus, you know, that we do grow here. So you might there might have been an issue of the soil not being quite good enough and then getting dry. There was some mention that it does like nice, even moisture, the rhubarb, and so that could have been an issue. One interesting thing it said there was that the stems, you know, are edible, and what is used for a lot of different dishes and everything, including rhubarb pie, but the leaves are toxic, it says, and because they contain oxalic acid. Well, that's the same acid that's in spinach. So I don't know if it's a different level of it or if there's something else besides the oxalic acid that is in the leaves, but it was a strong warning not to eat the rhubarb leaves, just the stems. Back to the phones. Esther in Frisco, Texas is next up. Hello, Esther.
Well, good morning. I would like to know, how can I use hydrogen peroxide to get some oxygen to several plants in my backyard? The drainage is not as good as it should be, and I have a desert willow that I'm desperately trying to save.
Mm-hmm.
I've poked holes and put some compost around it, but is there a way I can use hydrogen peroxide to get some oxygen to it?
There is, but desert willow, as you know, because you're asking this question, is an extremely drought-tolerant, xeric kind of a plant, and waterlogged soil is something that is, it's not going to like at all.
No.
To put out the hydrogen peroxide, what I would do, Esther, is mix it with garret juice. You could make it be about a quart of the water, replace a quart of the water in the garret juice mixture and spray it out that way. You could make it stronger than that. If you put it out in a mixture that would be close to 1%, in other words, two parts water, one part of the 3% hydrogen peroxide, that's not going to be exact at all, but that'll get you somewhere near the 1% mixture. You can spray it out by itself. It won't burn plants at that rate, and it would do the liquid oxygenating that you're thinking about. But if you mix it with the garret juice, and putting out the garret juice when it's wet is fine. You know, that's one of the great advantages of organic fertilizer, is that we can put it out when it's wet, when it's misting rain and all that. In fact, the best time to do foliar feeding is when there's a light misting rain going on, because it'll go right into the leaves instantly. And it's kind of the same thing with hydrogen peroxide. Now, you're going to be spinning your wheels a little bit if it continues to rain.
I know.
If you go out there and put out the hydrogen peroxide, you'll get some benefit out of it for a brief period. But if it keeps raining, you get this anaerobic, no oxygen in the soil situation, you know, reoccurring. So you might want to just try to improve the physical drainage as best you can. That's going to be critical for the desert willow tree. And then when the rain stops, try to do your physical aeration of the soil, spray the hydrogen peroxide by itself or with Garrett juice and try to kick that oxygen level up.
Does it help any if I poke just real small little holes around the roots?
If you did core aeration, and that would need to be done by a contractor, that would do some good. Just sticking holes in the ground really doesn't do much good. It just kind of moves the soil around and recompacts in another place.
Okay, it's not a very old tree, so I'm not...
Go ahead and put the hydrogen peroxide out, but you may have to continue to do it over and over because of the rain. I'll put you on hold if you had something else. Howard Garrett will be back right after this.
As we age, it's important to keep moving, but it doesn't have to hurt. You know, sometimes pain is inevitable, but suffering can be optional. In addition to healthier eating habits and staying active, I've discovered a powerful new formula to help provide nutritional support for healthy inflammation response. Kyolic Curcumin from our friends at Kyolic. Kyolic Curcumin is a synergistic combination of the antioxidant properties of odorless organic aged garlic extract, along with a proprietary Mariva turmeric complex made from a unique blend of curcumin and phosphatidylcholine to help maximize absorption. I take Kyolic Curcumin every day to provide natural support for healthy inflammation response, joint and muscle health, cardiovascular benefit, colon and liver function, as well as other nutritional benefits. So take the first step with Kyolic Curcumin. The rest is easy.
Kyolic Curcumin is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. For more information, visit kyolic.com.
I have a great recommendation for container gardening. SmartPot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
EcoSafe provides natural, organic pest control to take care of pests without using harmful, toxic products. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. EcoSafe specializes in the use of Spectra products to eliminate pests naturally. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities to the pest control companies. Call 1-855-825-2849 or go to EcoSafePest.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. Number's 866-444-3478. I just noticed an email that I got that a golf tournament I'm playing in this weekend has been canceled for today because of the rain, and we'll finish up Monday maybe. It's going to be interesting to see if Colonial in Fort Worth finishes today or if Mr. Na is going to be the champion because they'll possibly end it yesterday, Saturday. Let's get back to work here and talk to Lockport, Illinois caller Craig. Hi, Craig.
Good morning.
What's up?
Well, I've got some nearly wild rose bushes that I planted those 7-8 years ago. About 25 of them, and they develop some kind of a plight where the stems that are coming up and mature as the summer goes on turn to a reddish brown, and the growth is stunted really bad. So I went on the internet to find photographs of it, and I found something called witch's broom. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
Yeah, that's one term for it. The specific disease that you might have, Craig, is called rose rosette. And it forms a witch's broom look to the new growth, and you get funny color, and you also have funny growth of the thorns. You'll have them all on one side of the stem, or you'll have a real strange arrangement of the thorns, and that's usually part of it. We have an entire program that we recommend for the rose rosette. It's a version of the sick tree treatment. It's basically the sick tree treatment that we use that I talked about in the first hour of the show that we use for oak wilt or any other issues that a tree is having, being in stress, leading to insects, diseases, or whatever. And we do the same thing with roses, starting by getting the soil off of the base of the plant. A rose bush has a flare just like a tree. And a lot of times the roses have been planted way too deep in the ground. And so changing that is the first thing you ought to take a look at. And then the rest of the procedure that we call the sick tree treatment is it's in two places. If you go to my website, dirtdoctor.com, and click on the word guides right on the homepage, it takes you to the page where the sick tree treatment and all the basic program, the basic organic rose program is there, the formulas for Garrett juice and tree trunk goop and all that kind of thing there, but also the solution to rose rosette you can find there or in the library of the website. And just just apply the whole procedure. The first thing that you want to do is cut off all of that deformed growth. And when you're doing that, if you put hydrogen peroxide in a little spray bottle, little quart spray bottle, and dilute it down with water just a little bit so it's less than the 3% that it comes in the, from the store. And as you make the cuts, spritz the cut and spritz your shears as you're going from cut to cut and from plant to plant. And then apply the entire sick tree treatment. And the final step of that is to spray the Garrett juice, which is explained how to make there, and add the hydrogen peroxide to the Garrett juice spray. That's very important. We've had people tell us that it's completely cured rose rosette, and we've had a few people who have said it worked for a while, and then the rose rosette came back furiously. And if that does happen, the only other alternative, and we don't like to go to that step, but if it does return, you have to just remove the plants, and when you remove them, get all of the roots out of the ground and the whole deal. I haven't seen that have to be done on any of the roses I have, but I've had some of the listeners tell me that it did come back in some cases. Do you know what varieties your roses are?
They call them Nearly Wild. They're the one the landscapers use quite a bit. They're pink with a yellow button in the center.
Okay. Well, the one we're having the most trouble with is, I'm drawing a blank on the name of it. It's right on the tip of my tongue. But anyway, it's one of the hybrids, and it seems to have it worse than any of the other roses. Sounds like you've got something else. So I bet you that the treatment, if you do the whole thing, I think it'll solve your problem.
Well, great. Thanks for the tip. I surely appreciate it.
Give it a shot and let me know how it works, okay?
Thank you.
And the number is 866-444-3478. Hugh in Segalville. Next up. Hi, Hugh.
Good morning.
What's up?
Well, I bought a Japanese maple, and I would like to know where to plant it. My house faces the northwest. I know I probably can't plant it in the front yard. It probably needs afternoon shade, but I'm just curious as to what you think.
What kind of Japanese maple is it? What does the tag say?
Oh, my goodness.
Is it a red leaf Japanese maple or green?
It's green.
It's a green leaf one?
Yes, sir.
The green ones tend to be a little tougher. The red ones will burn easier, in other words. It depends on what you have. There is one that you can buy. It's the species plant. It's the green mother plant that all the Japanese maples, the fancy ones, were bred from originally. And it's tough. It'll actually grow pretty much in full sun. But any other Japanese maple, the best place to plant it, you've already suggested, is morning sun or filtered light all day long. Morning sun and afternoon shade, one of those two situations.
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
Appreciate the call.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Well, let's do a break, and then we'll come back and talk to Susan and Trish and whoever else wants to join the party. 866-444-3478. I'll be back after this.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Black cow, the mature manure black cow.
If you want the best-looking grass in the neighborhood, top-dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of Black Cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in Black Cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work, improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of Black Cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working Black Cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best-looking grass this summer, apply Black Cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure, Black Cow.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. 866-444-3478 is the number. The rose I couldn't think of a minute ago, I guess I block it out of my memory because it's such a bad rose to plant. Now it's called Knockout. It's the one that seems to be the place where this rose rosette really got started, and it seems to be the most susceptible to it. And one of the problems is it's become almost a monoculture. It's been planted so much in commercial and residential gardens. I've got a rose that's kin to it. It's called Home Run. It's a really bright red single rose, and we've got one knockout. It was given to me by a fellow at the Arboretum years ago because it had pink and red flowers on the same plant, and it's still doing fine too. So it's kind of interesting where that disease is popping up and where it's not popping up. And in some cases, the program that we recommend completely cures it, and in other cases, it comes back after a while. So I'll just have to see how it works for you if you have the problem. Susan in Highwood, Illinois is next up. Hello, Susan.
Oh, hello, you, Doc. I was learning at Mason's yesterday. Mosquitoes are fierce. Is there a natural repellent, one to put on me? I did put two catnip plants in her garden bed, my daughter-in-law, but the mosquitoes didn't get the message. Oh, they ate me alive.
Well, I'm not sure any of the plants really help that much with mosquitoes. There's a couple of things that probably need to talk about here. One is we have a lot of mosquitoes here as well. It's interesting that I was talking to one of the fellows that's making a line of products that I recommend highly that I'll tell you about the other day. And what he said that a lot of people that talk about mosquitoes don't realize is that when it rains, it tends to run them off, at least for a period of time, because raindrops, you know, are pretty big to a little bitty light mosquito. So they tend to hide out during rainy periods, and then you see the worst case of them when the rain stops, and you know, afterwards. So that's why some people get a little confused by not being around while they're real close to a rain event. But the thing that I recommend now is a line that's called Mosquito Steve. And you can
Steve.
Steve is his name, Steve Moore. And he has been working on it for a long time and done a tremendous amount of research about what essential oils and what combination of them work the best.
And oh, good.
He's really looked into it. It's a totally organic approach. And what he's come up with is a three-step deal. One is an on-skin product, you know, you put on right on your skin, right, just like you'd people use DEET, which I don't recommend.
I wouldn't use that.
Yeah, and the second thing is a spray that you can either put in a sprayer, backpack sprayer, and spray yourself, or hire a landscape company to come and do it. More Tree Care here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area does it. In your area, anybody that sprays organic products, and I'm sure there's somebody there in your area, you can get them, tell them about the product, and they can spray it for you. The third step of his program is a misting system. And it's interesting that I'm high on this because I've looked at every misting system that's on the market and every kind of ingredient that you can put in the system, and I've never been impressed with the way the things work from the standpoint of killing beneficial insects or burning the plant foliage or not being effective. And these people that recommend pyrethroids and pyrethrum, I think that's terribly, terribly toxic and should never be done. So what he's come up with is a mixture of this essential oil mixture that he came up with, along with BTI, the Bacillus thuringiensis israelensis, you know, the biological control of mosquitoes, and it is working, not perfect. There will never be a perfect situation to get rid of every mosquito. It's just not going to happen. But it works as well. It works better than anything I've ever seen. My wife is a magnet for mosquitoes. They just tear her up. They don't bother me much at all. She's tried every own skin product that's on the market, and this one works better by far than any so far. There's a button on our website over there on the right-hand side. Those are little ads on the side, and one of them is Mosquito Steve's ad, and takes you to his website and tell you all about it.
Oh, thank you so much.
Give it a
try. Really appreciate it. And I love your show up here that we've got it now up in north of Chicago, up North Shore here.
We're delighted to be there. Help spread the word.
I sure will. I'm trying to.
Thank you, Susan.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Okay, and we got an open line now for you at 866-444-3478. Trish is in Lone Grove. Hello, Trish.
Hi, Howard. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well, other than I'm kind of rusting
I'm
at the gills.
So I get it. First of all, I want to make a comment on that the caller that talked about the compost and the German Shepherd.
Yeah.
I found that interesting because I used to have a Shepherd mix, and he was probably 75% Shepherd. And when we would go to the composting facility in Norman in the truck, he just went crazy.
Really?
He wanted out so bad he couldn't stand it.
Interesting.
And they don't have any food products in there. It's all their grass clippings and stuff. Anyway, I had a kind of a two-part question about the trees. I have a red maple that I planted last fall.
Okay.
Doing great. And then we got all this rain. And where I am, a lot of wind. And I cannot keep that thing standing up. And I'm just wondering if it's, you know, okay as far as I can tell, but every time I get put back in and staked a little bit, something happened, and it just, I don't know if I can get staked deep enough as wet as the ground is.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
Well, first of all, let's try to help me with what kind of maple it is. Do you know what the species and variety?
I don't. I picked it up. Fortunately, I didn't pay a lot of money for it, so if I lose it, you know, it's no big deal.
Okay, but it was sold as a red maple. Does it have Does it have really thin bark?
No, I would say
real smooth.
Yes. Oh,
okay, that's probably one of those hybrids that are being sold, you know, for fall color. They're not highly adapted here in the alkaline soils long term. They tend to do pretty well for a while. It might be good if the root system is in bad shape for you to bite the bullet and plant something that would be more adapted long term. But what has happened is that it was – do you know if it was balled and burlapped or in a container?
It was in a container, and I soaked it pretty good and with carrot juice and did the normal things. I tried to keep the hole as shallow as possible. Now, I don't have an alkaline soil issue. I'm north. I'm over by the Ardmore area.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I have a lot of clay, which may be part of the problem. But, yeah, it's just the it hasn't had a long enough time to get a good root strength.
Yeah, and then so all the rain came on.
Yeah.
You may have to go ahead and stake it for a period of time. What kind of staking system to use is going to be the question mark. Somebody that is in Oklahoma that has done a lot of research on it, Dr. Carl Whitcomb, actually recommends putting eye bolts into the trunk and running the cable from the eye bolts out to stakes so that you don't have anything wrapped around the trunk at all that's banging on the cambium layer, you know, crushing it over a period of time. So that's at least one possible way to stake it for a while. The other would be to get one of these systems that have the real soft straps or connections and give a little bit, and the tree can still move a little bit with the wind. You see what I mean?
Right. Well, that's kind of what I use, a fabric rather than something else. This is not that big around, number one. I'm not going to be able to bolt it.
Well, that would be fine. Go ahead and do it if you want to try to save the tree and then go through one growing season of organic fertilizers and amendments. And if it doesn't root out and hold itself up after one growing season, it probably never will.
Okay.
And you may have to go ahead and bite the bullet and plant something new. If you plant a different kind of tree, or you plant another tree, the maples that I'd recommend you look at would be Caddo maple number two, but number one, big tooth maple. And
right.
You'll really have a lot better success long term.
All right. And then I have one more question that's kind of related.
Okay.
And the problem with getting these trees that are in the small containers, which is pretty much what we have around here, and I find it difficult to figure out a way to plant it high enough because the bucket that they're in isn't even as high as you recommend with regards to fruit trees. As far as how far below the graft.
Right, right.
So, and again, with my wind issue, I've had some success, but not a whole lot. And I can't ever decide what's the best way to keep those things standing when you're planting them. They do fine in the wintertime, but when the spring comes around, they have the same problem.
That's a problem. There's so many of the trees that are coming from the growers that are too deep in the soil. In the pot, and when you take all that soil off, you don't have much of a ball left,
right.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
All you can do, you've got to get down to the flare. You can't leave it covered up and have the thing be successful at all. On a smaller tree like that, one thing that you might want to consider is getting 3-foot-long pieces of reinforcing rod, like is used in concrete, making pouring concrete. And drive those metal rods through the root ball down into the ground and drive them down where they're totally, you know, below the ground so people won't be tripping on them or anything like that. Then triangulate, put three of them and drive them in the ground. If you can bend the top to where it's like a walking cane So it would actually go down and then hold and be pointed toward the trunk and hold that ball in place even better. That'd be good. Bending reinforcing rods kind of tough to do. You'd have to get somebody to do it for you, probably.
Right.
But that would be the best way to stake a small tree like that.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it. I'll give those a try, and we'll just, like, cross my fingers on this other one.
All right. Hang in there.
Pay a lot of it, but thanks.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's a problem when these trees coming from the growers are all messed up as far as the buried, you know, too deep in the soil and circling and girdling roots and all that kind of thing. You become a smarter shopper by knowing all this stuff, and you can actually look at the plants and check those issues and try to find some plants to buy that have a flare, showing. You can from time to time. Sometimes it's accidental, but take a look. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back right after this.
When gardening is part of your life, it brings so much. Healthy eating, the freshest, most local produce, and playing in the dirt. At BonniePlants.com, you'll find all you need to succeed. When you grow Bonnie veggie and herb plants in beds or containers, you'll know where your food comes from. Homegrown veggies and herbs ready for cooking, eating, and enjoying. And you did it. So get growing with Bonnie Plants.
Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Electrolytes like sodium, potassium, magnesium, and chloride recharge your cells. That's especially important for your heart and muscles. Low electrolytes can lead to fatigue and cramping. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. Go to drinkcrazywater.com to find a store in your area.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard back. Let's do the Victor pet tip of the week. One of the things that I want you to be aware of is that when you buy treats, which I recommend, we give our dogs treats. They're a little spoiled now about going out to their dog run area without the treats. They think that that's part of the deal. And that's fine. And we do a bunch of them, and I've been experimenting with a lot of different ones. But what I want you to be aware of is that a lot of those treats are made in China and made in ways that are not very good. So be very careful about buying. Try to buy U.S.-made stuff or with companies that you know something about, and read the labels and be kind of careful, because you really can get some treats out there that have some pretty nasty things in them. And look at the ingredients from a nutritional standpoint, a fat standpoint, too. And if there's a lot of sugar and a lot of fat and a lot of things like that, you want to be very careful not to give them too much. If your dogs are like mine, they'll eat the whole bag if you allow them to do it. So keep it down to, you know, just one or two small. They appreciate some treats, but they need to be good, high-quality treats. So do a little investigation and label reading before you buy. You can get more information about the wonderful dog food, Victor dog food, and cat food at the website victordogfood.com. And if you haven't given it a try yet for your dogs, I recommend that you do. We have just been very, very impressed. The palatability must be terrific, because my dogs just absolutely love the stuff. And everyone we've tried, they like as well. And all the reports that we get back are equally great. Their coats look terrific, and good stuff. VictorDogFood.com, again, is the place to get the information. Kurt is in Carrollton, and next up. Hi, Kurt.
Good morning, Dr. Garrett. Pleasure to speak to you.
Well,
sir. Listening all these years.
Well, thank you, sir.
I heard a conversation earlier about personal mosquito defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll offer up what I got. This is recommended to me by an Avon lady, 30 years ago. And it's Avon Skin So Soft Bath Oil. And well, I scoffed. I scoffed when I heard that. And at some point, I finally tried it. and it's been my go-to personal mosquito repellent for decades. I mean, this is tested on any number of Texas lakes at sunset and beyond. I'm the best-smelling fisherman in the boat.
Yeah, the only, we've talked about it before, too, Kurt. The only negative I have about it is it's messy.
It's, oh, dear God, I know, but
it's, you know, it's real heavy and yucky. And that, other than that, I don't have any problem with it at all. I think it's fine. And it seems to work better for some people than for others. Judy, my wife, has tried it, and it didn't work that well for her. Other people, works great. And obviously it does for you, so that's super.
Well, as you know, some people are simply mosquito magnets and some aren't. I'm body chemistry involved there, but
absolutely, I don't have a problem with them much at all. I have them land on me and sting me some, but very, very little, and yeah. And I never get a welt, you know, like a lot of people do at all.
Yeah, I don't really worry about it being messy when I'm out there handling, you know, bass and stuff anyway.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate the tip.
One other thing, please.
Sure.
I've been with the program. I'm starting in my fourth year now, and I really appreciate, you know, what you've done for me in my yard.
Well, good.
But just a curiosity, this spring as I tilled up the, you know, I took up the winter flowers and, you know, turned the beds, you know, to get in the spring flowers, I had an epic number of ball bugs, pill bugs, I think they're called.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a sign of improved soil health?
No, not really. It's a sign of a lot of moisture and humidity and all that from San Antonio to Dallas. I talk with Bob Webster, my friend, on his show every Saturday, and he said they've had just the biggest problem with pill bugs he's ever seen in his life down there. We haven't had it in our gardens as bad as he does, but I'm starting to see more and more of it. There's a product.
I didn't realize it was moisture.
Yeah, there's a product that's called Sluggo Plus that works great. It's the Sluggo base product is for slugs and snails, and it works very, very well. It's it has iron and magnesium and some things like that, and it fits an organic program fine. I don't think I would recommend using it over and over and over all the time. But it does work when you have a serious outbreak like we had this year with slugs and snails. The one that's called Sluggo Plus has spinosad added to it, and it will kill the pill bugs and the sow bugs. Sow bugs are simply they're the same thing basically, but they don't roll up; they stay extended.
Yes, I believe I'm familiar with them.
Uh-huh. And it'll help and the product also helps with slugs and snails, so it's the one I recommend.
I've never witnessed any sort of damage or downside. Can they be a harm to my plants?
Yeah, they can. They primarily are beneficial and feed on dead and decaying organic matter and help break things down. But they also, from time to time, say, I'm tired of eating that brown stuff. I'm going to get me some green plants. And they will eat green tissue and do some damage to the plants. So go ahead and treat for them. If you got a ton of them, you may have a little bit of damage.
All right. Thanks for all your help, Howard.
I appreciate the call very much. You can also try as the first step hot pepper like you put on a pizza, real heavy. I mix it with diatomaceous earth and cedar flakes. Add the hot pepper to it and broadcast it. And in the past, I've had good luck with that approach, too. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Telephone number is 866-444-3478.